Welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Oh, no, I absolutely mean great morning. And welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show today. You can imagine what this week is going to be like after coming off such an awesome, awesome weekend. I want to say good morning to you, Mr. Paul, Mr. Jay, our two most favorite international guest, Mr. Paul, all the way from Japan, listening from Japan. How about that technology? Absolutely dynamite. And then Mr. Jay Early over there in Germany to let us know and to keep us informed of all the international things that are happening, going on. You know, everybody's talking about going global, going global. We are in a global society today. Thanks to the internet and fax machines and, well, airplanes and, you know, because of ships and boats, we've always been international. But there's been a lot of barriers that has not allowed everyday people like myself to connect and actually do business with people in other countries. So for that, we're very excited. We do want to absolutely let you know that we have a fabulous show for you this morning. We have a powerful, dynamic guest on the line. I'm going to bring her on in just a second, but I want you to stay tuned for the entire show. I know she won't be able to, but the second half of the show, we have some awesome, awesome business tips to give you. For those of you with your small businesses, I had an opportunity to meet about four or five other small business owners. I invited them to the show, so I hope they tune in today. Because this is the Coach Lalisa Show, and we are here to coach you to your success. Success principles and essentials for your personal life, your business life, your professional life, your church life, and just any life you're trying to live. So we want to just say welcome, welcome, welcome all the way from those of you who are in California, those of our friends in Ohio and Atlanta and Maryland, North Carolina, and my newest friend that I just picked up last week in Detroit. So we know she'll be tuning in to the show. So I want to just get right into my awesome discussion with this wonderful woman that has decided and agreed to be a guest on the show. I want to welcome to the show, and I want you all to help me welcome Reverend Dr. Tanya Blau. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I am great. I am wonderful. And I'm so glad that you could be with us today. You know, you really have an amazing story and testimony, and the work that you're doing is so powerful. And I know you travel all over the world, and I'm just so humbled and honored that you would get up, you know, this time of morning to be on the Coach Lalisa Show. Dr. Blout, God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you as well.
No, you're wonderful. So why don't you tell us, we know this is October, Domestic Violence Month, and I know you have some information that you want to share, and I know you've been on a show or a TV show or a radio show every single day this month, because that's what your Octobers are like, because of what this month represents. But also, I know throughout the year, but especially this month. So you already, I'm sure, have information that you know people need to hear. What is it that people need to know about domestic violence? What is it that people don't know about it? That's the reason why it's still going on and so prevalent in our communities. What is it that people don't know? What is it that they need to know? And how can you help them?
Oh, I think the most amazing thing that I've recognized due this month, being aware of domestic violence and just speaking and interacting with people that are going through, people that know someone that is going through, the most thing that I even just began to realize is that now it's time to even educate about domestic violence and the social network. Because a lot of, especially the young girls, young women, teenagers who are also going through domestic violence, this social network has taken it to a different level. And so we need to, like, you know, last year was one thing. 5 years ago was another thing. So now, you know, I noticed that I'm having to address domestic violence in the social network. How would you say that the social work network has anything to do with domestic violence? A lot of men and young guys, and I mean girls are abusive too, but my call has been to help women that are being abused. They're using the Facebook and the Twitter to call, expose a lot of secrets, to curse their partner out, to be abusive, stalking them on Twitter, stalking them on Facebook. Those are signs of an abusive relationship. If he's doing that on Twitter and Facebook, you can be sure that that relationship is also being abused. You know, the woman is being abused physically as well. So I've had to address that a lot. Another thing that I'd like to mention an awful lot, and people don't want to accept this, womanizing is also abuse. If someone is having you're married and someone is having multiple relationships or one relationship outside of the marriage, that is an abusive relationship. How? Because most times when people are cheating outside the relationship and outside the marriage, he's going to compare you to the person that he's now dating or seeing on the side. It's emotional abuse. Because you most times women know, and so you're torturing yourself trying to figure out who, what, when, why. Immediately you believe that it's something that you're not doing, something that you've done that makes him want to step out of the relationship and seek someone else. And even sometimes the woman that he's cheating with will try to let you know what's going on to try to ruin the marriage. And so it's a lot of people don't understand and acknowledge that womanizing is another sign or part of domestic violence. I think they kind of think that it's only a physical thing, and it's not. It's emotionally, it's financially. If you're with someone and you're not working and you're financially dependent on that person, and he uses his debt finance, the fact that he makes more money to control you. I've also had a case recently wherein she was the one working, he was the one staying home, but she had to come and turn over her whole paycheck to her living partner constantly, and he would give her what he wanted her to get. That's also financial control. So there's a lot of aspects of domestic violence that I don't believe that people think is domestic violence. They kind of believe that it's just part of the relationship.
Oh, wow. That's good. So you're out there helping people to become aware of the various different types of abuse out there with partners, you know, partner and spousal abuse, but also letting them know what about some of the Well, it sounds like you've given out a few signs. But,
yes, I'll give them, those are signs. And then we also, I don't believe in just talking about it. We, it's not just about talking about this issue. We want to, you know, the Lord has allowed me to go through what I did, went through so that I can help the next person. So we're not just going to educate you about it. If you're going through it, we're going to provide resources and counseling. And just really, really work with that woman so she can be, and so she can get to the point where she's healed and create that broken woman from a broken woman to 100% whole. And so that's what God has allowed us to do.
Now, you know, I know you have your editor-in-chief now of an awesome magazine, Having Church for Women.
Yes.
And, yes, and now are people able to get subscriptions for that magazine?
Yes, online it's havingchurchforwomen.com. It is a print publication. We're now getting ready to release the last issue for the year. This issue actually, usually it's about 52 to 56 pages. This issue is going to be 63 pages. We're putting out a lot of information for the year. And as we're getting ready to release that, I'm also working on one more issue for the beginning of the year, and that's going to be an amazing issue. So you can go to havingchurchforwomen.com to subscribe. We also have the subscription form inside the magazine as well.
Now, tell us a little bit about your direct experience. How did you get involved? Why did you get involved with domestic violence and become a domestic advocate?
Okay. It was all. I used to say that it's all an accident, but you know that's not really it. This was a design plan from God. I was married for a long time, and I married very young. I married very young, but I was involved with my husband very young. I met him when I was 14, and we really started seeing each other heavy when I was 15, and he was 9.5 years older than me. So I always tell people that the reason I believe that I was able to put up with this and get involved in this with an abusive husband is because I met him at such a young age. And so it was very easy for him to become a manipulative person to me. And I did not see that was unhealthy because that was my only relationship. I had nothing else to compare it to. And looking back and finally being honest with myself and people, my dad was also abusive to my mom. And so it just looked normal. And I didn't know what, I didn't really think that this was abuse at the time. I really thought that this was a relationship. This is what you went through if you were with someone. And so it just became something that I accepted. It did not start off abusive. It started off, he loved me very well. But it definitely became abusive. It started with having a lot of women and us getting married and, you know, the drama with the women. And then the beating started immediately after we were married, and he became addicted to drugs. And so that was even more so. It escalated the problem. And so I spent over 15 years married. You know, we were married longer than that, but I spent over 15 years being in an abusive marriage that was consists of emotional, verbal, financial, physical abuse. And so I tell people all the time, when I was in that relationship, when I was married, I did not think that it was anything wrong with that. I accepted it. I knew that God did not design me for that, but I just kind of believed I had to be married to that for the rest of my life. I grew up in this holiness church that always spoke against divorces, and so I thought, you know, I had these children, these small children, that I had to stick this out, and I had to, this was part of my life now, and I couldn't walk away from it. So my life during that time was a very dark life. And to make my story short towards the end, it wasn't until he beat me to the point where I needed hospital care and he insisted that I get arrested because there was this new law that said if they saw abuse on either party that they would arrest both parties. And so he was immediately going to get arrested because of the condition I was in. But he insisted because he had scratches on his face from me trying to get him off of my neck. That I get arrested as well. And so that experience in jail was a spiritual awakening for me. And I was immediately homeless with the children We were homeless for almost a year or more, back and forth, back and forth. No one wanted to allow us to really stay with them, so we were homeless. And for the immediate beginning, I didn't let people know. And I wrote this book. The first book was 8 years ago, Leaving the Wilderness. And I wrote that book really to just, I wanted to have something to say here. This is your legacy, children, because when I married my husband, I had a really amazing career singing, and I played several instruments, and so that was my life. And so that kind of ceased once I was married, because that was another thing that he felt was not a good thing for me to do. And so the book became, after one signing, women were lined up wanting to talk to me, and that's when I realized how many women were really going through this. And I began to travel. I started getting invitations to speak into shelters. I started getting invitations to speak, you know, at different places. And that has been 8 years ago. And so in five books later, I've been, you know, all over the country, international invitations. And this has created a ministry in itself. And I tell people all the time that it wasn't just something I did. It became a ministry for myself, my children, because my children were younger. And so they had to follow me all over the place, and they did follow me. And they experienced the abusive side of domestic violence, and they experienced the side where they now are equipped and able to educate on domestic violence awareness, because they have been there and walk with me through this 8 years of ministry.
Now, Dr. Blout, because you do have children, and how many children do you have?
I have five adult children. They're all grown, thank God.
And you have some boys and some are girls, correct?
Yes.
Have you seen where any of them, or was that ever a fear of yours that they would repeat that cycle from their father, and even what they've seen, you know, even their mother go through? Because sometimes you hear that, especially with daughters, if they've experienced their mothers being abused, and they see that on a regular, very young.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. That is, it is a known fact that abuse transfers. So if you've been abused, you will more than likely be an abuser as well. And if you've been exposed to that kind of relationship growing up, more than likely you're going to accept it. All I can say is that the hand of God was on us all the time, because none of my children, I have three boys and two girls, have ever been involved in anything domestically abusive, and they have never been the person that abused another person. In fact, I would say that my two sons, my oldest is 29. He's an amazing man, a family man. He's devoted to his children and his wife, and they're I'm so proud of him. And they are just so against violence. So with us, it was the opposite. And so my second son, he's the same way. He's getting ready to get married. He's in law school. They excelled. And you know, from homeless, we slept on trains, we slept in cars until they got repossessed. We stood on food lines to feed my children. For them to have gone through what they went through, I can only explain it as, you know, supernaturally. And I know that's what happened. God just did an awesome thing in my life, wherein now my kids can minister about it. They always do. They'll let me know when they went in high school, if they saw things going on, they would connect that person to me. They were really, really voices of bad women. And so they are not, my boys are not abusive. And the girls, forget about it, they're nothing like the mother. They don't put up with anything, you know. They are really, have no tolerance for abuse. They know immediately if someone's beginning, you know, even in a dating, if someone's doing X, Y, and Z early in the game, it's just only going to get worse. And so they know, don't even try to believe that we can change them. This person needs something that I can't give them, so let's just keep it moving. And that's what they do.
And here's another question I want to throw out there at you. Okay, so what gave you, or how did you get the courage to, A, number one, to walk away from the abusive relationship, or to mm-hmm. get out of it, or what have you, and I think what's more critical for some people, how did you get past the love that you have for your husband, the love that you have for your father's children, and just the will to even want to live it, go on and live your life, because look at all the wonderful things that you did after that abusive relationship, writing books, magazine. I know you were a TV show host for a while. I know you went back to your music, which you didn't have to do, because some people, they lay their gifts and dreams down, they never go back to them. But you did go back. You are the pastor, ordained pastor of a church. You have your doctorate. I was there at your service when they conferred your doctorates on you. I was at your ordination service. So, and I've seen these things and all of these, and, you know, so where did you get the courage and how, and can you help somebody else who they're just scared to leave or whatever?
I don't know. I've never been a person that gave up all my dreams. Even when I was going through, I still tried to sing. I still tried. You know, I'm a musician, so when you're that, when you're creative, you make your own music. And so, even in the darkness, I believe I made my own music in my mind. And I don't think I ever really 100% felt like I would never get out. I have to be honest, and I believe that I held on to hope. And that was really,
you know what,
you know.
Yeah, this one, I think you said that was monumental right there, that you always had hope, even in
yes.
the darkest times. But, yes, somebody really needs to know that they got – go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I held on to that hope. And when I left, I want to say, you know, nowadays I prepare people on safety plans and all of that. There wasn't as many resources available because I didn't know any. That doesn't mean it didn't exist. It's just that it wasn't as popular as it is today, the awareness. And so that was 11 years ago when I left. But when I left, I knew that if I stayed, that I really realized, felt like he was going to kill me, or I would eventually kill him, because it was so abusive. I knew that it was not a good thing. Am I capable of killing anyone? No, but when you're in such a thing, you felt it was just sometimes I did things to defend myself, and so because of the abuse was so bad. So I knew that to stay in that was not the thing for myself or the children, and I just could not do it anymore. I had left several times before that that jail spiritual awakening thing, but I always went back. When I left this time, and it became easy, and people say, how did you leave and stay homeless? It was easier being homeless with the children, even though that was a sad part for us when you have as many children as I had with him. But it was easy being homeless because I wasn't getting beat up every day or beat down with his words or, you know, it was easier. And I still hope in the kids, and I continue to pour my dreams into them, telling them what they were going to be, really speaking into their lives and, you know, reminding them that, you know, this was just a season and we were not going to stay in that season very long. And even though I felt like I was in a very dark period, there was something in me that always was able to speak life into my children. And we always, always had someone from somewhere gave us something, money, food. It was amazing how we lived, because I can't even imagine it now, but it existed. And we often talk about it as a family. I think my children are very comfortable with me at this point talking about our lives. They've seen it. They've been there. They speak about it themselves. But I think the part of homelessness has been the hardest thing for them to hear again and again, because it's something that they're not, that, you know, of course, it's an embarrassing thing for them. How did I move on? Again, it was something, you know, supernatural in me that just said that, okay, now you pick back up your life and you move forward and you do it step by step by step. And I never sat down and wrote a goal. I never posted my goals on a poster. I never did any of that. I just wrote the book, printed the book, and it exceeded my expectations. I didn't think that this was going to be my career. I didn't think that this was a ministry at the time. I didn't think that this was going to become its own life, and it has, and it's created a life for me. It's created jobs for other people that work for me now. But during that time, that was not my goal. My goal was to just share something with the kids, leave a legacy for my children, because I had been ill immediately after the abuse. My body was just beat down, so it was broken, and so I was dealing with a lot of illnesses at the time, And so I thought, okay, this could be a legacy. This could be this. And I just really thought it was going to have a time period and eventually it would expire. And if it was God's will, I would be able to go back to singing or something else. I didn't really think the book was going to do what it did.
So how satisfied are you with your new life that this horrible experience has created for you in terms of the books and the speaking engagements, the workshops, the private sessions that you do, the individual on the phone coaching that you do with women that, you know, are writing in the midst of being beat down or, cut up. Some women have been beaten with, I know some of the stories of the women that you work with and also Dr. Hunter. So how satisfied is this new life that you have?
This new life is a life that I am humbled by. It is not something that I see as glamorous. I every day can't believe I'm living it. And I've tried to resign. I've tried to retire and have a normal life. And I know now that I can't possibly do that. God did not save me. You know, I nearly lost my life twice. And I almost lost my mind being in that relationship, that marriage. Almost. I was on the edge really many times. And so God did not save me from that abuse for me to now have a happily ever after with me and my children and when they got grown with me and someone else. That wasn't it. God saved me so I can help other women. And so my life now is all about other people. And I understand that now. In the beginning, I did not want that. But I've embraced it. I celebrate. And that's an important word to say. I celebrate my trials and tribulations. I am proud of where I was because where I am, when I look at where I've grown and where where I started, is an amazing thing. And I mean, when I sit and tell people, it doesn't seem like much to me, but my church members especially, they're like, awe of it. And I say, all I did was 1, 2, 3, 4. And they say, Dr. Blunt, you don't understand. A lot of women don't get back up. And I see that, but I still don't think it's huge. And I thank God that he keeps me that way because it allows me to stay in a place where I am totally willing to do anything for anyone and do anything that God says to do so that this ministry is I'm still able to continue to spread the word about it. And so that's a really amazing thing for me. So I'm all of that bad, all those things that were meant for bad was actually for the good. And so I celebrate it. And everything that he designed, he used to tell me I wasn't going to be anything. Nobody was going to want me. I'm stupid, this and that. All of those things that he said, and he wished I was dead, and he tried to take me out of here. All of those things that he did and said are actually, they worked against him. And so I remember when I first started doing book signings, he was so angry because he thought that what I went through, what he was putting me through was going to kill me. But I actually had to start talking about it, and it would be a source of inspiration to other women. And it certainly allowed my healing to take place by talking about it. When you begin to talk about this thing and you're not keeping it in, the healing becomes reality. And so eventually, you know, even though it took me about 9 to 10 years to get here, I became that 100% woman that God designed me to be. And in the end, he cursed my life so much, he passed on before I did. And I still, in the end, was there for him. I forgave him. He was very sick with cancer. I took care of him at the end. And I learned how to forgive in another way. Not everybody does that, but that's how God used me. And so my ministry on forgiveness is huge because I forgave in a huge way. And it's a requirement. We're required to forgive. And because of that, my children are loving people because they watch their mother do something like that. They're very affectionate. They're very forgiving. You can do something to them, and they're not going to hold on to it. They will not. They do not believe in that. And he's my grandchildren's grandfather. How could I not see him at the end of his days and not? I couldn't do it. It's not in me, and I couldn't. And I'm glad I couldn't because it is such a big part of ministry now. This is my second half of ministry now is forgiving because we often keep pain inside, and we think that forgiving is going to let that person off the hook, but that's not it. Forgiving is releasing yourself from that, and forgiveness is allowing God to do what he has to do. And when we don't forgive and we remain bitter and angry, we can't move, and we can't. God will not allow us to move forward, and we tie God's hands. And so forgiving was such a big part of this new ministry that I'm walking in now in the last 2 years, being able to be there and pray with the same person that tried to kill me on several occasions. It's a remarkable thing that God did, and I'm so grateful that I experienced the pain, and that is the honest truth, because look what it did. It created a woman that my children admire, that my grandkids will be able to share with their children years from now. I may be gone, but the amazing thing is that I can't undo what I went through ugly, and I won't be able to, and no one will be able to undo what I did for service.
Well, Dr. Blau, I know you have a busy morning over there in New York City in your magazine, and you're, I don't know, you could even be out of town, but, you know, you're just such an amazing woman to me, and the way I was introduced to you and all of that is just so humbling, and I thank you for coming on. I don't want to, you know, keep you longer than, you know, you have time for. But if there's anything that I didn't get a chance to ask and that is really burning on your heart that you want to say and leave with the listeners, because people in the chat room, they absolutely love the magazine. They've been to you. They've gone to the website. I've posted it. Others in the chat room have said, you know, wow, and I know your story is powerful and that they're going to pass it on. A woman in California says she knows other people that need to hear this. She's going to pass a link on to them. So if there's anything that I missed that you would like to share, because I was going to ask you about how did you get over the shame, but I think you talked about that. And what would you say to somebody who is struggling right now and they haven't made that decision yet to go? Or you need to share whatever you
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. I would definitely say that this is not what they were born to do. They weren't born to be abused. Each and every person has a gift. Each and every person is born for greatness. It's not God doesn't have favorites, so we're all destined for that. It's up to us to tap into that and scratch the surface of it and realize what that is. And so staying in something that's unhealthy for you will not take you to that level. You know, not everybody's going to be able to walk out alive. And so I've been to too many funerals to honestly tell women just to be patient. I tell women that I come across to pack and pray, because if he hits you once, he'll do it again. And I've been to too many funerals. I know too many women, my sister friends, that are raising their sister's children because their sister has been killed by the hands of someone that should have loved them. And I can't honestly say that you should stay in that. Leave. If God is going to do something for that man, he don't need your help. And so step out of that situation and think about yourself and your children. Also, I want to say, there is something in that relationship that you're going to be able to take away that's going to make your life great and your purpose great. And think about that when you walk out. Don't think that this is over. You're not bad. You're not blue. You're not beaten down anymore. As of today, look towards the light and walk out of that relationship and walk to your destiny. And also, if you're going through something right now and you don't know where to turn, there's a National Domestic Violence Hotline. That number is 1-800-799-SAFE. S is in Sam, A is in Apple, F is in Frank, E is in Eddie. SAFE. Call it. It's a 24-hour hotline. No matter where you are in this country, you can call, and they will direct you to a local agency or whatever. But that there is help available, and use their resources. And also, you know, I have my agency organization that's been going on for 6.5 years, Leave the Wilderness, which is Hispanic women. If you're in the New York City area, definitely feel free to reach out to me. I'm on Facebook as Pastor Tanya Blunt. And Tanya is with an O-T-O-N-Y-A. And also the organization does have a page on Facebook as well, Leave the Wilderness, Inc.
Wow. Well, Dr. Tanya Blau, you are amazing. I had my makeup on because I got to go to work in a minute, but you were about to ruin it. I was about to just start crying. My God. You are amazing. I mean, I've been knowing you now for several years, and you've come on the radio show in the past, and we've talked, and I've been over to your church and over to the events that you've held, and you are powerful, powerful, powerful Oh, my God. I'm waiting for you to do another The Women in Pink. That was just awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
But that, please, God, I'm begging you, God, that was just, I'll never forget that time. It was just so special. And
yeah.
I know it was very special for you because your mom
yes.
was at that event, and she was dressed so beautifully, and I'll never, ever forget her.
Yeah.
Let me tell
and her
you,
birthday is Wednesday. So
wow.
we're getting ready
oh.
to celebrate her life. Yeah. You know, this week is a little sensitive, but we thank God for the strength. And I'm glad that you were able to be there for me. When she, when her spirit was, when God received her soul, I'm thankful that she was there. You supported me in an amazing way, and she loved you. So did my sisters, and so do I, of course.
I know, and I met you, you know, basically on the internet. And so for all those people who think the internet is wicked and bad, shame on you. Look at this wonderful, positive, powerful woman that I met. But you, before you go, I just got it. So thank you. I love you. With
thank
the love
you.
Of God, you're an awesome woman. And what you just said, those last sentences you told, oh, my God, every woman needs to hear this, and man, because there are a lot of men who do get abused, but they don't share as much, so the statistics are much lower on
yes.
the men. Because, I mean, you're a man. You ain't going to be telling people you're getting abused. But mm-hmm. here's the thing. You said when you leave, take note that you are taking something with you that's going to make you better in your future.
Yes.
And you
yes.
said and that
and
you
I
have
think
purpose
that anything that.
That
we're in, any experience that we're in that is unpleasant, there's a reason for it. There is a reason for it. So that's why it's very important.
You often
we
do
as
hear
women,
people say that as it relates to being in a bad job or
yes.
a bad business situation. But I've rarely heard anyone express it the way you did of a person in a bad marriage or a bad relationship. And that, I think, is monumental. Because
oh,
I think
it's
a lot
important.
Of,
it's important for us
I
to
think
celebrate
a lot of,
it.
Yeah, I think
because,
that's why they're afraid.
It elevates us.
I don't think they don't realize that. I think people think they're going to be worse off somehow because of their experience, not realizing
that
you take something to make you better.
Yes.
I love it.
He does renew the strength.
We love it. You are awesome, Dr. Well, thank God for you. Thank God for your life. Like you said, God spared your life for this work. We just pray your safety and that you continue to be able to spread the word. I know you have other shows that you're going to be on throughout the rest of the month. So people, if you want to follow her, she gave you Dr. Blunt. You can catch her on Facebook, Dr. Tanya T.O. NYABLOUNT. You can go to her website, and please, she has other interviews lined up. You probably have one coming up in about a half hour or so.
Yes, I have one at 10.
Okay. Love you so much. Thank you.
Love you.
And we're gonna
okay. Thank you so
God
much.
Bless
and
you.
God bless you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Well. Okay, y'all. This has been really, really an amazing, amazing morning. And I know if you didn't get a chance to actually ask Dr. Blunt, I'm going to keep messing up her name, any questions, please, you can go to, you can connect with her on Facebook. As you can see, she's a very down-to-earth woman, and she's very positive. But I'm going to take this next caller who is on the air with Coach Lalisa. Good morning, and welcome to the show. Good morning, area code 469. You're on the air.
Good morning, Lalisa. How are you?
Well, I am just fantastic and great. And how are you? Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Adele Foster, and I'm calling from Plano, Texas.
Hey, Adele. Oh, my God. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I couldn't have planned this better. You are another super amazing woman. Oh, my God. Well, we're going to be talking about what you got going on. But, yes, did you have a comment or about what Dr. Blunt was just sharing or a question?
I actually had a question, but at the same time, I want to commend her because I know what it's like to be in an abusive relationship as well.
Yes.
And so I think it's great that what she's doing. I didn't experience the physical abuse, but I experienced the mental abuse. And my question to her would have been, you know, what do you think is worse, the physical or the mental? But listening to her, I would say in her situation, both were. Plus she had kids that she was running with, so that was even harder. But I really want to commend her for what she's doing. She's truly blessed, and her trials came to make her stronger. That's why God blessed her with what she's doing right now.
And she, thank you for that. And she really is doing some amazing things. This woman who has, like I said, who she already said she had a singing career. She plays the harp. That's the instrument that she plays. I've been to her facilities over in New York City. I've seen her on television. She's doing great things. But here's a woman who so humbly took a train and came to New Jersey about a year and a half ago when I did a workshop on relationships just to support, you know. And that's how awesome she is. And I guess we met on the internet. It's not like we went to high school together. We didn't belong to the same church. This lady did not know me from a hill of beans, and she came to support. She's invited me to events that she's had in her house where I got a chance to be up close and personal with her mother. So for all those people who are so afraid to meet people online and you're so scared and what this and that, you see, look at the relationship. And now I've been invited to write articles. And when she first did the first year that she did the editing for the magazine, again, she didn't see all my writing credentials. Do you understand? She just simply trusted God. And she had me write an article, then another one, and now they're offering to actually pay me to write articles for the magazine.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the kind of life that you can live when you're really living your life on purpose. And the same thing with you, Adele. And here you are, this woman who travels all over the world doing the motivational speaking and business success conferences and workshops and seminars. You've worked with the SBA. You've worked with colleges and universities. And again, here you are. You're putting this huge event together for Newark, New Jersey at Rutgers. Again, I meet you where? On Facebook, and now I'm one of your speakers. I am just floored at God and what he's...
Because
if you could talk a little about that, because the next topic was going to be, I was going to talk for the rest of the show about business success tips. I was going to give out a few tips, but look at you. What has made you so successful in business, and what advice would you give to others?
Well, I will tell you, Lalisa, one of the things that made me so successful is the fact that I stayed focused. I mean, I have been doing business since I was 13 years old. My mom would say it was longer than that, because my mom and my dad were my supporters. They were my backers. I say they were my cheerleaders, and they were, because any business idea I came up with as a child, they supported it. How much does it cost? And so I say they were my financiers. They invested in me. And so as I got older, I began to realize if my parents and other people could invest in me, I needed to invest in myself as well. So I never stopped. I kept going no matter what. Did I have to take jobs from time to time? Absolutely, because you just cannot do a business with no finances. You need something to keep the business going. But those with an entrepreneurial spirit will not stop. And so I would encourage anyone who has an entrepreneurial spirit, and even if you don't have an entrepreneurial spirit, if you realize, hey, I'm not an entrepreneur, but I need to work for someone, work for an entrepreneur. You'll learn so much from them. Trust me, business, especially in these economic times, is the best way to go. And I say that because so many people are losing their jobs. And if you look at major companies, they're either downsizing or going out of business. So now is the best time to start a business of your own.
You know, you are so right. As a matter of fact, Michael Bazin, which everybody knows how big his audience is, he posted a comment yesterday on Facebook asking people that they should, you know, something about when it comes something to relationships or something. Something he posted, but my thing about not getting, about the job situation or something like that. And I'm like, well, it's time for people to stop crying over the fact that you can't find a job and wake up to the reality that this is a season for entrepreneurs to break forth. You see, if you can't find a job, that's your sign that you need to start a job.
Absolutely.
Now, it may not last. As soon as the market changes, then you could quit that and go work for somebody if you so desire. Go ahead.
Well, I will tell you, Lalisa, so many people have become conditioned because society has conditioned us to work.
Sure.
And so we don't know anything else but work. You know, I do a talk called What's in Your House? And I do that talk based on 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 through 7, the woman with the pot of oil. Well, the prophet asked the question, what's in your house? She couldn't see her overflow. That woman was a businesswoman. That woman had an overflow right in her house. So I would ask any of your listening audience right now, what's in your house? Because if you are unemployed, there is something there that can increase your income. But you can't see it because just like the woman with the pot of oil, all you will say is, all I have is could be your increase. But you can't see your increase right now.
That's good. That's great. That's great. And now, when did that call come on?
When does what call come on?
What's in your house? Are you still doing that call?
That's actually a talk that I go out when I go speak to audiences, especially the churches. I come from the biblical perspective because of the fact that if you look at it all throughout the Bible, it talks about business.
Yes,
and those
absolutely.
Of us who are in the Word can read. There's business in us. God gave
That's
you
right.
gifts and talent. What are you doing with them? Most of us are wasting it on somebody else's job when you can create your own.
But that's a good point because I just recently had several people that just really bent out of shape because they don't have a job. And they're being very critical and they're coming down very, very hard on the current government administration because the job is not being created yet. And I know there's also some concern that there's not a lot of creation out there. This is what they say. This is a critique for people to start a business. But I dare say that your solution is, I think, one of the greatest solutions to let people know that they have something right within the midst of them in their own house or their own hand, something that they can absolutely do. So I totally agree with you. But you're right. We got to uncondition people. People have been conditioned. But we got it's like Pavlov and his dog. We've got to decondition, uncondition, recondition, reinvent people. We got to get their minds off of being so miserable because they cannot find a job and teach them the skill sets to how to create a job for themselves.
Well, absolutely.
And possibly others.
And
possibly others, you're right.
You said something so prevalent because it's easy for us to blame the president. We could blame anybody, but well, blame starts with yourself. Look at yourself, okay? And I say that because, yeah, I can take the focus off of me and put it on somebody else, but the reality is, what are you doing for yourself? At least I want to say this. I want to thank you for agreeing to be a speaker for me on November the 13th because on November the 13th, ladies and gentlemen, Scott Motivation and Speak will be offering a seminar, a workshop, a conference that's going to teach you not only how to create your own job, but even how to go back and get another job. But you got to stop blaming other people and look at yourself. Look from within. Because if you begin to look from within, you'll find the solution. It's right there in front of you.
Wonderful. Well, you know, that's what she's talking about, Got Motivation, Then Speak. You can go to the website, gotmotivationthenspeak.com. I know that some of you who have listened to the show have already indicated that you're attending. I know Mr. Versi Walker said he's coming. We also have a regular audience from three people. One's in Japan, Mr. Paul, good morning. Thank you for tuning into the show. You're so awesome and always supporting. He's actually in Japan, and we have Jay early, who's not early there, it's afternoon there, but he's actually in Germany. And then we have Ms. Kiva down in Nashville. But they have, all of them know people here in New Jersey. Kiva used to live here. Mr. Early is also from here, though he's been living in Germany 30 years. And Mr. Paul, who is from California originally, but I'm sure he has lots of contacts in New Jersey. So we're going to be asking each of them to encourage their friends to come out to Rutgers University on Saturday, November the 13th. Miss Adele, the woman that you just heard her speaking, Adele Foster, she has a company, AJ Foster and Associates. She's online. She's on the internet. She's on Facebook. You can go to the website, gotmotivationthenspeak.com. Mr. Howard Scott, Jeffrey Dunn, Mr. Wali Hakim, other speakers there, Ms. Demetria, what's her last name?
Demetria Miller.
Demetria Miller, my God, these and more. Awesome speakers, workshops, trainers, teachers, professors, business people since they were children. I know Mr. Howard Scott, he had, you know, Twin Vision. I was going to say, because, you know, I'm thinking Twin, no, that's the store and the skating rink. But Twin Vision, I used to love that paper. I used to hunt all over Newark and East Orange to get my hands on a copy. I followed this man around. I used to go to his Monday night motivational sessions 8 years ago or seven.
Oh,
and
yes.
I used to sit here in that audience and one day I'm going to do that. And I am amazed that I'm going to. I can't believe it. I'm going to be there on that stage with this person that I used to follow him around. He would be out, and I remember once he was out there with Mr. Johnny Cochran before he passed away at a big seminar out in somewhere. I forget. It was some town here. And I was there, and I was watching Mr. Howard, and I'd be like, wow, you know, just in awe of his life. I used to go down to his newspaper printing office where he would be printing the paper, and I'd watch. And I could be like, wow, oh, he's phenomenal. Got this paper, it's all, and I can't believe I'm going to be there speaking that day. I'm just amazed at that. So
well,
I'm excited.
I am so glad that you're excited. I was glad to find you on Facebook. And I want to say this to your listening audience, too. I'm very scripturally based. But, you know, there's a scripture that says write the vision and make it plain. And if you begin to just write your vision, it can become plain because it's buried deep inside of you. And all you have to do is bring it up out of you. God is waiting on you. My question is, what are you going to do with what God is waiting on you to do?
You know, and you're so right. Now, let me just, if anybody has a question, if you're in the chat room and you want to type it in, thank you, Jay. Jay Early, who said, this is great food for thought, and Paul says, great show again. Thank you, Paul. Paul, you always say that. I'm beginning to wonder about you. No, I'm just kidding, but I know. You are such a blessing, I tell you. And this man found this show and told me he's listening from Japan. And I also had some, I know, right? It's amazing. I said, oh, I can't wait to come to Tokyo. I'm going.
Yes,
and, you know,
you
Mr. Paul is also producer and a director for movies that are also on audio. He has a powerful, powerful website, PaulKyriAzi, like Karazi, is how you pronounce it, .com. He has a powerful website. And he used to work with the guy from Mission Impossible, Greg Marsh, if you remember him, and many, many other great people. I can't remember all their names. But this is a very dynamite person. Mr. Jay Early, very dynamite, had on his show last night the Solutions for Black America. Very, very powerful show. If you can go back and listen to the archives. I'm sure, Adele, you can, if you haven't been on his show, I'm sure he would love to have you as a guest on there. And also, Ms. Glow, Jess out of California, she also has her own business and is doing great things. And then Ms. Kiva has a Women of Destiny down in Nashville, Tennessee. So,
wow.
Adele, if you haven't done your event in Nashville, I'm sure we can connect you with Ms. Kiva, and we can somehow do something big. I've been down there already, and that city is ripe for some motivation. So,
well, I would really love to be connected with Ms. Kiva because Got Motivation to Speak is touring next year. And so I would love to go to Nashville, Tennessee. I would love to bring Got Motivation to Speak there because I know right now with the way people are feeling that Got Motivation to Speak is something to uplift their spirit and also help them take action. Not just think about it or feel good about it, because that's what motivation does, but to help them to take action by empowering them right from where they are to move to the next level of their life.
Well, definitely, and also, you know, I would definitely love to go to California where Miss Gloria is. She also travels all over the country as well.
Oh, wow.
With her business. So these are very, very... I think a lot of the ones who call into the show are entrepreneurs, they are movers and shakers, and so they already have a platform of individuals. So when we go into those towns or you go into those towns, you know, there's already an audience right there. Just awesome, awesome, awesome. And I'm getting my boarding pass, getting ready to come to both Germany over there with Coach Jay and also to Tokyo. I didn't know how I was going to get to Japan until I met Mr. Paul. Awesome, awesome. But let me give you some success tips that I found, and then I'll see if there's any other last comments you want to make, Ms. Adele. I'm so glad you tuned in, and I definitely want you to come back on the show to share some more before November the 13th. But number one, like Ms. Adele said, you want to target something. You know, you got to try to find your niche, try to narrow your focus. You can go broad later, but initially try to target and focus, like Hope Harper in Cincinnati with the dry cleaners, custom care cleaners. She tunes into the show every day. She loves the show. Good morning to you, Hope. Also, we want to go to Cincinnati, Ohio, which I had mentioned that to you. She's there with the dry cleaners, and she's also, as a matter of fact, she has a radio interview this morning, today, Monday, about her business there. Also, it says to be different. Try to stand out, do something a little bit different. Build you a team like you have, Ms. Adele Dunn, and Mr. J and Kiva. You've got to build, and that's where some people are lacking in their business success. I think it was John Paul Getty who said he'd rather have the efforts of, he'd rather have 1% of 100 men's effort than 100% of one man's effort. And so we've got to learn how to build that team of people. Nobody can do everything. And be fast. Get out there quick. Don't wait. Say thank you. Always thank people. Persistent. Smile. Okay. Be fanatically optimistic. Sell soft. Don't push people. Remember, people love to buy, but they hate to be sold. And then leave your comfort. Some other tips we're going to just share. And we so thank you, Ms. Adele. Again, we can't thank you enough for being here today. And tomorrow we're going to talk about overcoming business burnout. So some people do get burned out, and they need to know what to do. So that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow, overcoming small business burnout. And as you know, Wednesday is our midweek motivation with Mr. Versi Walker, who is author of Success, How I Ended Up Here. Another person you definitely want to meet, Miss Adele, but he is coming on the team. So, any last words you would like to say, and we're going to get out of here.
Well, I would just say, I like to say thank you. I'm glad that I tuned in this morning, Alicia, and I will continue to keep tuning in because this is awesome. I think it's great because people really need to understand in this economy, there is not really a bad economy. This is an awesome economy. It's a great economy.
Woo!
And if they start speaking those words, because scripture says, call forth those things that be not as though they were, they'll realize their life will start changing. And so I want to encourage everyone today that's listening, go out, make a difference, create change, because change is for everyone. We just have to step into it. So step into what God has for you, and you'll watch what will happen.
Oh, wow. That is absolutely awesome and amazing. Go out, make it happen, step into the future that God has for you. Speak those words. That's right. Stop speaking over your life that it's a bad economy and realize that it's going to be whatever you make it. Well, awesome, awesome, awesome. That's all we have time for today. And we will see you back here tomorrow, same time, same place. This has been Coach Lalisa, and this has been Monday. Have a great day, everybody.